This is CliffCentral.com.
What is happening, everybody? It's Friday morning. Are you ready for the weekend? It's here. It's coming to get you. Weekend is gonna get you. Weekend's gonna get you. Weekend's gonna get you. It's gonna get you. Who is that? Gloria Estefan? Who did that rhythm is gonna get? It was Gloria Estefan.
Gloria Estefan.
You remember her?
Was she a one-hit wonder?
No, dude.
No.
She had a ton of songs. Okay. Now you've opened up a can
of
worms.
Okay, settle down.
Oh, my gosh. You do not remember the American Music Awards performance when she got into that horrific accident and she came out with a song called Coming Out of the Dark? Ooh.
Funny, you remember that. I don't remember that.
Ay, caramba. Oh, that was the big performance.
So what else did she have? She had that, and did she?
She
had something
of love. Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. Here, you've started a thing.
I hear Gloria Estefan. I just hear one mega mix of Latino pop.
This is the one that was in my head just now. I didn't even realize it was her. But this is the one. What a treble on this.
Yeah.
Very 90s. I don't think there's any bass in here at all.
Just picture guys and Flair Chinos dancing at the law firm.
Da, 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 da. Rhythm is gonna get ya. You remember this song, right?
The rhythm getters, this is taking forever.
Here we go. Very 80s. All right, let's go through her top 10 songs.
Like
some mess around. Yeah, all right, here it is. So. This is 1996. It's called You'll Be Mine.
Did she originally sing Waka Waka?
It's party time. You remember this? I don't really remember this one.
She had range.
She was good. This woman was incredible. And she was the first breakthrough mainstream Latina artist.
Yeah. I mean, but did her hips lie, though?
Yeah.
Oh, what is this one?
Get on your feet.
I remember this one, too.
Yeah. This is great. Open up your eyes, dare to realize. Here I stand alone, everlasting love. Tears are by my side. Wanna see you try. You'll never be denied. Everlasting love. I was not supposed. I don't remember this, but
I don't either.
Heaven's What I Feel. This is 1998. She went into the late 90s with some of these songs. This is Here We Are.
This just sounds like she's got a duet with Peabo Bryson happening anytime now.
Oh, big time. There were one or two of those, weren't there?
If I could breathe.
Oh, that one got my belly.
I'm in it. I'm in this.
Turn the beat around. You know what we should do? I've got an idea. Just remind me after this.
Oh, no.
Yes, no, there's something we got to do. A lot of hits, Ben.
Out of the dark, I see the light.
Now,
standing on me.
Yeah.
See the lights, yeah.
Okay,
that's the end of that.
Oh,
thanks, Ernest.
Damn it.
We were doing so well.
Oh.
Okay, so here's the idea. I reckon every Friday someone has to dredge up some old artist.
Ooh.
And we have to find at least 5 of their hit songs, and we go through them.
Fabulous.
Okay.
We do it every Friday. And we'll take your suggestions too, by the way. You can email us, or you can WhatsApp us, or whatever. Let's hear from you.
I'm going to go first.
All right, you can have next Friday.
Yeah.
It's all yours. You know how you can get us on your WhatsApp this morning, 0797482090. If you want to email, then just email Gareth or Sia or Mabale or Ben at cliffcentral.com. That easy. Mm-hmm. Busy day ahead of us today. We've got to talk about the Fun Breda sentencing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There we go. Clarity, sure. Closure, finally.
Well, we've been on this story from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
We've been obsessed with it.
Years ago
it is
now.
It is a pretty rough, as murders go, this one is probably one of the worst in South African history. I think it'll be in the books for a long time.
Yeah, well, it was an open and shut case that took 3 years, so there's also that.
Well, you know, when the resident expert, Ben Karpinski, says that, then that's the final word. I mean, it was impressive how he dabbled in the forensics and the legal aspect and psychology. Mm. He's kind of a...
It was a hybrid offering that I'm even quite proud of.
You are the expert of experts.
You are.
Thanks, Maps. Thanks.
No, you really are.
Not an overnight thing, I tell you.
But you nailed this one. If we just listened to you, we could have saved 2 years of Judge Siraj Desai's time.
Yep.
We wouldn't have had to have any of the mess, any of the fuss. The guy would have been in jail. He would already have been 2 years into his sentence.
Look, guys, I think the smoking household for me was when they went to Australia and came back. That's a lot of trauma for a kid.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
I think he was deranged. I think he's totally deranged. All right, let's just talk about his behavior on the stand. And yesterday when he was sentenced, just unbelievable what happened, right?
I just saw a lot of pictures and videos being shared. And he essentially, he looks like he is dead on the inside.
Yeah. Yes.
He looks like he is...
It's like Cliff Richard's eyes.
That's the best way I can describe it, and maybe there's an even better way, but...
No, you've nailed it. He is completely...
From the eyes backwards, there's no life.
Frightening.
It's just incredible. Anyway, here's the moment of sentencing. Take a listen to this. Maybe you need to hear what Judge Desai said in his own words. Listen to this.
Sorry, Mr. Van Breda. In the result, on count one, the murder of Rudy Van Breda, you are sentenced to life imprisonment. On count two, the murder of Martin Van Breda, you are sentenced to life imprisonment. On count three, the murder of Teresa Van Breda, you are sentenced to life imprisonment. For the attempted murder of Marley Van Breda, you are sentenced to 15 years imprisonment. On count five, obstructing the course of justice, for the administration of justice, as set out in the charge sheet, you are sentenced to 12 months imprisonment. In terms of Section 103(1) of Act 60 of 2000, a person is ex lege, that is, operation of law, automatically declared unfit to possess a firearm. The court declines to determine otherwise. In other words, you're declared unfit to possess a firearm.
Well, I should hope so. That's like, they shouldn't even have to say that at this point.
Yeah.
Jesus, what a... And look how dead his expression is. If you watched the news yesterday, you'd see... Like, what we're trying to describe to you is that this guy really has a zero expression on his face. And, you know, when things like this happen, your family are all dead. There's no one... No one's in the court that cares about him, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, he didn't flinch. He blinked once during all of that, and I'm pretty sure it was a literal, my eyes are a little bit dry and need moisture blink, as opposed to
like a lizard would.
Yeah, he's on his third life sentence and does his one blink for the sentencing. It's probably not like an emotional blink.
I wonder if he was getting flashbacks as he was, because he said that, yeah, she said their names for the murder of Teresa from Breda. So there's
that thing.
I would love to know if something registered in his head, like the flashback of the killing or the face or anything.
Well, the judge even said, we will never know why you did this. because he hasn't offered to explain himself at any point. He was going on the basis that he was not guilty and that none of this was him. But, yo, I mean, it's just unbelievable. All right, so Jeremy Maggs gave us a summary of the proceedings. All right, we need to hear this. So here's Jeremy Maggs telling us what it all meant, because he and one of his journalists, the two of them, kind of summarized the whole thing for us. Leanne Janssen is her name.
Leanne Janssen, live now to Cape Town. And Leanne, the judge Desai, saying that the crime was violent, excessive, and gratuitous. And that's probably the best summary of this very heinous tale.
Awkward silence.
Well, Judge Siraj Desai called Henry van Bredaal a cold-blooded killer, and said that the fact that he decided to conduct these attacks when his family was asleep showed that he had premeditated these murders.
The reality of all of this, though, Leanne, is it might have been premeditated, but we still don't know why. That was pointed out by the judge in no uncertain terms.
We still... Yes, Judge Siraj Desai again also saying that Henry van Bredaal did not show any remorse, and he chose not to. He also didn't take the court into his confidence in telling the court what the cause was for this attack, or the motive for this attack. So as it stands, nobody knows what happened on that fateful morning, the early hours of the morning, other than Henry van Bredaal.
So taken down to the court holding cells about an hour and a half ago. What's the process going forward now? Where will he serve the sentence?
Well, it's believed that he will serve the start of his sentence in the hospital section of Cape Town's Paulsmoor Prison. His lawyers have indicated that they will intend to apply for leave to appeal. That will then be heard before Judge Sir.
What's the point? Guy's been given like four life sentences. What's the point of appealing this? You idiots.
Are you going to appeal the 15 years of attempted murder? Because that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, they're probably going to appeal the whole gun thing.
It'll be the 5 years.
I may be in prison, but I want to know that I can own a gun.
Yes. If I live to be 120 and get out, how am I going to defend myself against the Martian invaders?
Well, Van Bredaal's lawyer said, you know, as part of explaining the appeal, he said that, firstly, the evidence was circumstantial against Van Bredaal. That's what he says. And he mentioned the fact that the crime scene had been secured for 30 days, which is problematic. Mm. And he added that the DNA that was analyzed, you know, could have been compromised because crime scene was secured for 30 days, blah, blah, blah. And that the only surviving victim, which is Marley, she took a long time before she provided her testimony. I don't know what that all means in legalese, but it seems that those are his bullet points for why.
Well, you also know
they're lodging that appeal.
He can't inherit anything, right?
Yes.
Because he's now a criminal. So what'll happen is that this doubles Marley's net worth.
Yeah. Oh,
to well, quite a
is
lot.
This something to well, then,
no, quite, not
quite
really.
A lot for Marley.
Oh. Are you not allowed to inherit anything if you're a criminal,
no.
Or is it if you're involved
in the proceeds of a crime?
The specific crime or in
well, you can't inherit from the people you've killed.
Yeah,
otherwise,
sure, I get that. But yeah. Is that the
otherwise
law?
It's a motive for
but
people to go around
like,
killing.
What if you like to sell the occasional banky of weed and then your parents get axe murdered by someone else and they're like, sorry, you can't have your squillions
around.
No,
it's to do with the proceeds
of
a crime.
The actual crime. Yeah. What does secured for 30 days mean in terms of being problematic?
So they're going to do psychological evaluations, make sure that he's not the kind of person who's either going to off someone else in prison or himself.
Imagine,
imagine like he axe murders some more.
Oh, yes, in prison. Oh.
Imagine those dangerous gangsters all going, ah, yes, I mean, I just heard that Henry van Bredaal's coming here, we in shit.
Listen, but if I was stuck in a cell with Henry,
I'd be like, I'm sorry.
Just keep it on topic, please.
I'd say, I'm sorry, please transfer me to the gang member's cell and I'll take whatever I have to deal with there.
He looks like a face biter.
Rather that, please.
Give me the 26s or 27s or 28s, or I don't know how many 20s there are. Anyway. Give me them rather than Henry van Bredaal any day. Imagine he's your cellmate. You sleep with two eyes open, man.
Yeah, gripping your cardboard tight. He looks like a face biter to me. He's got that vibe where he'll be unflinching and do robot face and then eventually just face bite. Because there's no axes handy, right?
Yeah.
Right, do you want to hear more?
Yeah.
Right. As well, who will then have to decide whether or not to grant the leave to appeal. And essentially, this is to find whether or not another court would have found a different outcome to this trial.
Leanne, it was widely expected that he was going to get three life sentences as well as the additional sentence for the obstruction of justice. We can talk about that in just a moment. But obviously, you were courtside. You've been covering the story in a great deal of detail. What response then, firstly, was there from him when that sentence was handed down, given that he's shown impassive features throughout the entire duration of this court case? But secondly, within the court itself, what did you hear?
It's a hell of a delay.
Well, other than a nod acknowledging the sentence that's been handed down to him, there was...
And by the way, when it comes to the nod, someone just messaged me with a very interesting observation. What freaked me out the most, and something I was very attentive about, was that he nodded every time he was sentenced, except when they gave him his sentence for Marley. What do you think that means?
What?
He nodded every time they sentenced him for all the crimes, except when... Marley came.
Oh, at that stage, he had a sore neck.
Oh, yeah. Just a lot of sentences to nod to.
Ought
but that's, a, that's an interesting observation, right?
No reaction from Henry van Breda throughout this trial. He sat there virtually emotionless. He did smile at his girlfriend this morning as well. But other than that, Henry van Breda throughout the court proceedings has not shown any emotion.
Oh, wow. All right, well... Imagine being that girlfriend.
She's going to cash in on a book deal if she knows what's good for her.
And get the hell out of that.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a book of note in... Jesus. There's a book of note in this story if you're the girlfriend, the one person that Psychoface confides in.
Ooh. Well, we'll talk to Tammy Peterson from News 24 at around about 7 o'clock this morning and find out more.
Does she know him?
Well, she was in the court. She knows the whole story. Oh, yes.
You see, those are the kind of people you actually want to hear accounts from. The people who are in the courtroom as all of this is playing out. They're watching him. I don't know how much access she had to him.
Well, she knows the whole story. She'll give us a recap of exactly what happened.
I'm interested to know what happened with Marley, because she didn't remember anything at first.
Mm-hmm.
Was that like just a means of not having to recount the story? Is amnesia a real thing outside of soap operas?
Oh, yes.
God, you see now. This is how you get enemies on this show.
No, I'm asking.
Now you're asking if amnesia is a real thing.
I don't know if it is. I just don't know if it is. I've only ever encountered it in soap operas.
Of the stupid.
6:21 and fake news over here is trying to get his heart
going. That was a legitimate question so that I can know things and not later at a dinner party give wrong information about amnesia. That was research.
Last week you were talking about space and rattling out facts, and this week you're asking about amnesia. Aye, God.
I don't remember Marley. Well, she didn't give testimony, did she? Like, not even through a statement. So they didn't put her through any process of this trial.
It was probably a family decision to not extend the trauma, because there must be other family people who don't want to be in the spotlight here, like a nice aunt or a cousin or whatever, because where does she go?
There must be somebody
she
alive.
She didn't just someone go and rent a two-bedroom in Stellenbosch and go draw with her mates. She's gone somewhere.
Well, I'll tell
you what. She's been hidden by someone.
Yeah. If there's a little bit of evil in the people who are now minding her, she's about to cash in on a lot of money. They'll be like, Marley, you can come live with us. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Don't pay for anything. Yeah.
What if she's a real pain in the ass now? What if she's like, she keeps forgetting shit and like walks around the house and...
And I'm a dickhead for asking if amnesia is real, because I've only encountered it in soap operas.
She took an axe to the head. I mean, I've seen guys who play a season of rugby and they're not so great. She took an axe to the head.
Yeah. That's a serious thing.
She'll be a different person.
Maybe she just pees uncontrollably while she's walking down the passage. You don't know.
She's smart.
Like, it can really affect you very badly.
GQ's Mr. Sensitivity 2018.
This is why we're top of the pile when it comes to news integrity.
Oh,
we ask the questions nobody else wants to ask.
Yeah. Never mind bravery. No one else wants to know.
And we say the things that you don't even think.
And covering the facts no one was curious about.
No. Not at all.
She was 16 when all of this took place. And really, we are no Dr. Phil here. But looking at it emotionally, what if she really has spiraled out of control? This has affected her and now she...
Oh, yeah.
It's
entirely possible.
To lose your parents and your brother and your brother to have done that.
Yeah,
it's like you've lost your family because of your brother. And not because he drove a car badly. It's because he swung an axe to their head. Like, it's so hard to comprehend the nature of this crime.
She was there. She was in the place while he was running around chopping the rest of the family up.
And those sounds will never leave you.
According to the forensic guys, she was the last one to be taken down. So
you hear the
and
scuffle.
He thought she was dead.
You hear your parents screaming. You hear your brother saying, no, stop it, don't do it. Oh.
And then you survive.
And he left her for dead. So she would have had flashbacks of those moments, just lying there, kind of unconscious.
Even if it's subconsciously.
Yeah, I mean, she'll have a great week. She really will. And then suddenly she'll have a dream, and then boom. Mm. Like, that's what's in her head.
Good Lord.
Do we know to what extent she's recovered? Like, I mean, just in terms of the actual mental damage.
Very scant evidence.
We've got so many questions for 7 o'clock now. Huh? Yeah, this poor woman's waking up, thinking she could be on Cliff Central for the first time.
Look, whoever has been... Whoever's been responsible or in charge of her, I must say, they've done a good job of protecting her from the rest of us. Mm. As in us, the media, the country, Twitter.
I mean, really,
they've done an excellent job at that.
Look, I wouldn't blame Marley if she were to change her name, move to Dublin, and become a computer administrator.
I think that's exactly what she should do, Sia.
Yeah, computer administration is widely known for its therapeutic qualities.
And amenity.
That's what they do in trauma counseling facilities. They just put everyone in computer administration for 6 hours a day.
Marley, just go work your 8 hours a day, come back home, feed your cat, find love when you're 32. Yeah.
Get a cat, that's essential.
She just needs peace in her life.
Computer administrate.
I'm telling you.
And she needs someone to do DIY so she never goes to a hardware store.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, she must never see an ex again. What? No, Ben's right. That's very sensitive.
I'm covering all bases here, you insensitive individuals.
Yeah, terribly insensitive.
No, it's a good thing. He's right. She must never see an ex again. It could trigger all kinds of trauma.
I mean, like, when she goes on holiday, not to the woods. Never meet a lumberjack. No. Stick to the ocean.
Don't go in the men's room at a CrossFit gym because there's plenty of acts in there.
I was looking at Henry's. You guys are so sick. You people are so sick.
Sorry, I don't get that one. Explain it to me. I don't understand.
What?
The last. Wait,
there's men named Brett and Chad in CrossFit gyms that use Axe body spray.
You people are so sick.
Okay, thank you for finding me.
I found you. We brought you back on board.
I got lost.
Didn't he just look more sick and twisted as time goes by? I was just looking at the different photos of his court appearance.
No, hold on. You were the one who said you thought he was hot looking once.
Excuse me?
No, we will keep reminding you of that.
Once upon a time, he looked like a Wall Street banker.
Look at Sia's desktop photo. It's back when he had hair.
Once upon a time. And
Sia, is that your wallpaper on your
screensaver, Sia?
I mean, just like...
Jesus Christ, Sia's got Henry van Breda on his wallpaper.
I don't know.
He looks well evil in the second photo, because for those listeners who obviously can't see, Sia just flipped through his little gallery that he's got immediate access to on his desktop of photos of Henry van Breda. Initially, he's all clean-shaven and he's coiffed. And he looked hot and handsome. But in the second photo, he's like got a shaved head and a beard. And he looked properly like the most satanic thing.
Mm. Yeah.
So, seriously.
Look, I am very objective in this scenario.
It's like going from Wham to Slipknot.
I would have trusted him with my investments when he first appeared in court.
No, Sia, you would have... You are no different than those people who marry prisoners after they get incarcerated right now.
To remind him of those people, those ones who write letters to
the
prisoners.
Yes, they write letters to the prisoners, they develop a relationship in their heads, and then they marry them. And then the rest of their life is defined by conjugal visits.
Can you conjugal visit? Like, I've always wondered about that. Like, at what point are you not allowed them anymore? So, like, they let you occasionally goon in prison if you...
Goon?
Do they? Yeah. Gooning, yes.
Oh, how romantic and sensual.
Yeah, it's the gooning session. Oh. Your next goonery is scheduled for 6 months' time.
How do you know this, Gord?
I'm asking. Like, conjugal visits are a thing. Are they really a thing?
In this country, I don't know about this country.
Like, I don't think Judge Desai said every 6 months thou shalt good. I mean, I think that was his.
Your bonage privileges are level C bonage privileges for the first 10 years,
pending a clean bill of health.
Yeah,
and
that's what
discipline.
They're appealing. They're meanwhile, like,
meanwhile, Sia's trying to figure out his schedule for his next Cape Town visit.
Yeah,
they're sicko.
They're not appealing whether he killed anyone or not. They're appealing the goonage privileges. Like, listen, he wants to be able to goon twice a year. Once a year is level C. see Greenwich privileges are not good enough.
No, I just will not win.
Let's get cracking. We've got news to do, and my buddy's got some headlines for us now at 6:30. We'll get into more of those stories in depth around 7:00. We've got Ben with some sport. We've got the cryptocurrencies to take a look at, said by Sia. And your calls, your thoughts, your ideas, whatever's on your mind this morning, you know what to do. Get hold of us on WhatsApp 0797482090. You can also use Telegram if you prefer that. A lot of people do. And if you want to call us 0861-555-189. Here is Mabale Moloi with the latest.
President Cyril Ramaphosa spent the night with the Afrikanerbond yesterday.
The whole night. Talk about conjugal visits.
Well, I mean, that must have made for one or two tense moments, maybe a few awkward and fake smiles here and there from all sides.
No, they probably don't like each other, though. They like buffaloes.
Listen, I'll tell you what. The Afrikaner community would not have liked what the president had to say last night because he was trying to reassure.
Fuck yo.
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
He said he was speaking about land reform, Gary. Which, you know, for some people hearing those terms is even worse than hearing if yo.
Hello, Yella.
So the president was essentially trying to reassure the Afrikaner community about the government's plan for land reform. He says it's not a threat. It's a way to harness the country's economy, economic potential, and also heal divisions from the past. Now, Ramaphosa has promised to redistribute land to the black majority to address deep racial inequality that persists for more than two decades after the end of apartheid. So, as I say, must have made for tense moments.
Everyone's being spoken to here except the supposed black community who want some land. I mean, Mubs, has anyone polled you lately and come up to you with a clipboard and said, would you like some land? Or CIU or... Yolanda, who's sitting here with us this morning, if there's a single black person anywhere in South Africa who's been polled by Cyril and all of his cronies, I'd love to hear from you, because they're speaking to the Afrikanerbond, they're speaking to Parliament, they're speaking to political parties. The one group of people you'd think they'd talk to are landless black people.
Mm. Yeah, and if you polled them, you'd obviously get different answers.
Yes, but nobody seems to have any respect for the nuances and the individual aspirations of the black community they're supposedly representing. I mean, this to me is just such a blatant... It's hypocrisy of the worst order from all these politicians. They all talk about it like they know. They appointed themselves the spokespeople for the poor.
It's okay. We don't need the politicians. Black people are having these conversations amongst themselves, in their homes, in brides, in their circles.
I'd like that to be the news, because I think it would be more interesting than hearing Cyril talking to a bunch of people at the Afrikanerbond, if you don't mind my saying so. Even if their music's this good.
Yeah.
If the music is this good.
I wonder if Cyril can play the concertina.
What?
All right, and then another DA-led municipality has gone to shit.
Uh-oh.
Listen, DA, as far as falling apart at the seams goes, you're doing great, sweetie. You're doing great. Eleanor Bospies is no longer mayor of Knysna because she faced a motion of no confidence on Wednesday and they booted her out.
Really?
Now, the DA's Mark Willemser was unanimously voted in as her successor, so... Congratulations, DA, for continuing to look like...
Do we know what was wrong with her?
It's a motion of no confidence, Gareth. Essentially, it means that a group of them decided that we no longer want you, we want our guy. It's a power play. It's politics.
Was it like a no confidence within the DA? Or was it just everyone else said, no, we don't like you?
Well, essentially... She was voted out, but unanimously this other dude is voted in. So the DA still control Knysna, but clearly they had some internecine battle. Now, what I'm interested in here, Ben... You are often a good person to wildly speculate about reasons for things without any knowledge about the circumstances. In this case, and Knysna, you understand.
Yeah. which has had a trauma recently with that massive fire. So things have been going on.
Yeah.
You need to be running the area.
Throw something out there.
Well, guys, let's do something different here. Maybe she was really cuck at her job and they replaced her with someone better. And hold on to that thought, because I know that doesn't happen in politics in this country, but maybe that happened. Maybe this is the first case of accountability in politics.
Oh, wow. Please. It's politics, which means it's all about power play and strategy, guys. This is politics. Never forget, at the end of the day, they never give a shit about us as the people. It's always about what they can get out of it, and that is across the board.
Here's what she has to say. You want to hear her thoughts and her comments on the whole thing? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Anything you want to say? I thought so.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, okay. Well, then in that case, I agree with mums.
I have zero faith in any politician at this point.
True.
All look the same to me, every single one of them. Listen, that horrific story that we were talking about just yesterday involving a father who accidentally killed his son.
I saw the guy on TV last night.
Slightly different emotions than Henry from Bedard.
Did you see him in court just crying?
I saw him in court crying, and then his wife, and then the two of them were hugging and crying. And I mean, did you hear the story, Gord?
Did not.
Okay, well, Mubs, tell him, give him the update.
So a father is waiting for his son to pick him up from school, and he's attending night classes, right? So father is waiting in the car. He falls asleep because he's tired. Son finishes his classes, approaches the car. The car is locked, so he's trying to open the car because, you know, he recognizes this is my dad's car who's coming to pick me up. Father wakes up from his sleep. He is probably incoherent and a little bit scared because now he's thinking somebody's trying to break into his car. Immediately reaches for his gun and starts shooting.
No.
But it's his son, and he dies.
No.
Tragic, tragic story. Heart-wrenching. And then yesterday, during his court appearance, he was released on a warning. I mean, I don't think anybody would... Like, I don't think anybody would want this guy to be incarcerated, right? Like, it's such a tragic situation.
And he needs counseling.
And he's going to be punishing himself more than anyone could ever punish him for the remainder of his life.
Well, the state did not oppose his request to not go to jail immediately so he could bury his son.
You know, but there are certain, I mean, it's tragic, etc., but there are certain rules and responsibilities that come with owning a firearm. If you're going to carry it in public, you need to be responsible for using it correctly.
Yeah, and a life lost. And you know, I saw yesterday in the news, what do they immediately make this about? Is firearms, like you just did, Gord?
Because it's a gun thing.
Yeah, but Gord, this is not about an inanimate object jumping up and killing someone. This is a mistake.
Sure.
And I think everybody, like Mubs is saying, everybody who hears this story is going to have massive sympathy for this father. It's not an occasion for anybody to be jumping on gun laws. That's not the problem.
It's not that I don't have sympathy. It's just that any other kind of weapon other than a firearm, and this would have been like, before he could have axe murdered anyone, he would have realized it's not the person to be attacking.
It's about a lot of things, isn't it? And I think guns comes into that conversation, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, probably. It's just horrible. It's a horrible story.
Yeah. The magistrate described the case as tragic, adding that the decision to prosecute ultimately lies with the NPA. But at the same time, the police have said that investigations are continuing in this case. Mm. Yeah.
God, I hate that story. Anything else?
Well, just lastly, that... let's see here. There is a brand new challenger in the mobile network department.
Oh, no.
They're called Rain, and they are offering consumers a one plan where you'll get mobile data priced at 5 cents per megabyte.
Hang on, I heard about these guys.
Yeah, Rain.
Yeah, someone came and talked to me the other day. They're working with them.
No contracts, no out-of-bundle rates. That's what this new mobile network is offering South Africans. As the call for data prices to fall grows louder.
Yes.
They launched earlier this week on Wednesday, but they are just a data-only 4G network, so they're not about airtime life.
That's what we want, though.
Operating in urban metros across the country and... yeah, so 5 cents per megabyte? Who else is offering you that?
That's what, 50 rand a gig?
Yeah.
Yes.
If my maths.
Yes,
that's not bad.
50 rand a gig.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's reasonable.
We'll take it.
A lot better than the 140 odd that I spend when I'm out of bundle on.
Right. Now I think I'll buy some.
Now the only thing that consumers will want to know is, you know, speed, all that stuff, reliability, connection strength.
Yeah, you'll probably get connection in one street in four ways while standing on one leg, because you know South Africa does very well with competition. Just go ask Uber drivers how they get along.
If you're interested in checking them out, you can go onto Rain website.
Please tell me their website's called Rain website.
www.rain.co.za.
Please tell me their slogan is Make It Rain.
Ah, they missed out on opportunity, Ben. It has to be. They missed out on that opportunity.
Somebody get their marketing person on the phone.
Jesus told everyone your deepest, darkest secrets. Yes. You must be so embarrassed.
That's what they call a kind of a creative gimme.
Rain.co.za.
Make it rain. That's funny. All right. All right. Is that it?
Yep.
Okay. And a couple of messages here. Gord, F you and everyone else.
You see.
People are they're fired up this morning. This is like a paragraph, so brace yourself.
Okay, I'm excited.
Gord, F you and everyone else still making CrossFit jokes, you all have obviously no idea what it's about. Do some research, watch some videos, watch the fittest on earth, and understand that there's a difference between the sport of CrossFit and CrossFit, the groups of all shapes, sizes, and ages who are busting their asses to better themselves. You effing cretin. Oh. Ben, I would expect more from you, especially being a man of fitness yourself. I don't know how you wouldn't love the CrossFit Games if you gave it a chance. And Gord, obviously the weightlifting isn't working. Maybe it's time you try something else before you judge
Hang on a second.
Love you all.
Wait a minute.
Gord just made a reference to a type of body spray. Yeah. That's all he did.
Yeah, and I love the ironic before you judge after like a paragraph on what a cock I am. But yes, I didn't make any comment on the sport. I just said that that's where you're likely to find Axe body spray.
Yeah, which is a fair comment.
And it's also piggybacking on quite a common joke, the whole...
All right, shut up, you two, because at the end she does say, love you all.
She. I thought that was some foul-mouthed guy called Brett.
Yeah, your chat.
It maybe is. I don't know. There's no name. I'm assuming it's a she because it makes the story better. Gareth and Gord, I feel your pain. I'm struggling with the same science books you are. It makes my brain hurt. I would suggest Bill Bryson. Okay, yeah, I've read that book.
You've got some amazing books.
I read it as well. Brilliant, brilliant book. Everyone should read that.
He's got so many books, A Short History of the World.
Yeah. Yeah, it gave me a
one of the best, most interesting books I've ever read. If anyone hasn't read Bill Bryson's A Short History of the World, I think it's one of the most important. Even if you're only vaguely interested in science and history, it's very entertaining and you learn all kinds of interesting shit you'll be glad you know.
That's right. Gave me a little easier understanding of the universe. Gareth, did you get the books I sent you, Liesl and Pretoria? Mm. Liesl, which books? I'm not sure I know what
kind of orcs if it's a selection of erotic thrillers.
I must just check. I don't know. When did you send them?
Men with flowing hair and ripped pectorals and Axe body spray on the cover.
With Gareth's face.
Gareth's face superimposed.
Henry is definitely a candidate for women who love men behind bars. Prison food has made him a little trimmer. That's from Jules. So, Sia, there's another fan.
Or stress. He's just a husk of who he used to be.
What?
When he was swashbuckling.
When he was what?
Swashbuckling.
Y'all are making up words.
When you murder and shit, but in a like attractive and sort of classy way, that's when you swashbuckle.
All right.
You swashbuckled his family in CSIs.
Oh, gosh.
All right, there's lots of time for other messages. We'll get to those in a minute. Bitcoin is trading at $7,628.89. Ethereum at $601.67. That's Ethereum and Bitcoin for you this morning. Ben, what are the sports headlines?
Well, Gareth, Rusty Rasmus names an exciting team for the first real test of the Springboks this season. Drama aplenty at the French Open and 5 days to go until the FIFA World Cup in Russia. All right, big game tomorrow, 5:05 South African time. South Africa will take on England. Now, people were saying that the English team's going to be a bit piss poor because they got injuries and some guys are being rested because of concussions, or they couldn't be bothered. But Eddie Jones named a pretty strong team. Okay, Joe Launchbury, he is out. That calf injury. That calf injury did not get any better. So Nick Isikwe, I've never heard of that guy. He'll be partnering up with Mario Toje in the locks. What's so funny about that?
Launchbury.
Yeah, and he's a lock. Make it rain, I know. Something just makes sense in life. So England's team is not bad. They've moved Mike Brown to the wing, which is interesting. Elliot Daly will start at the back then. But it's a solid, solid team. As for the Springboks, there are three new caps that straight into the team here. Sibuen Kosi, Apiwa Janchi, they will be playing for the first time, as well as Achia Sneyman. He'll be coming into the locks. Valila Ru is back, though. That's a good thing. And then Lukanya Am will partner up with Damien de Allende in the midfield. Andre Polafafter Clerk, that's the 9-10 axis, which makes for a bloody exciting backline. There's pace, there's just all kinds of flair. Will there be a little bit of solidity, though? Well, Dallander has many caps, but at this stage, people always question if he is the best 12. Maybe not, but he's the best 12 right now, I'll tell you that much. And then Andre Pollard, he, for my money, is probably the most consistent of the fly-offs through Super Rugby. And Elton, well, yeah, Elton Judges can be a decent player, but I still don't think he's cracked it at this level of the game. Dwayne Vermeulen, Jean-Luc Dupree, and Captain Sio Khaleesi, that is your loose trio. And then the locks are going to be Franco Mostert with the debutante Archie Sneyman. And then Trevor Nyakani, he's got a bit of a rib injury, so he has been bracketed with Wilco Lowe to start, along with Bongi Mbonambi and Tenda Mtaraliwa. On the bench, we've got Aka van der Merwe, otherwise known as Bush Pig to his friends. And then Stephen
Kitsoff. You're making that up. Really?
Something along those lines.
I've got a bush pick.
Stephen Kitsoff and Wilco Lowe, who's been bracketed with Thomas Atoy, should Nyakani not be able to make it. Then we've got Peter Seth Atoy off the bench, along with Sikobuza Notche, who went to the same school as me, much younger man. And then Ivan van Sale, Elton Janchis, and Warwick Gallant. It's a good team. It's not the best team. Obviously, people are always going to have questions around certain players, because this is what happens. But one thing I will say about this, South Africa is the 7th ranked team in the world. For 3, maybe even longer years now, we've been bagging these guys about being cuck.
Yo.
So, going into this season, I supply some words of caution for most BOC fans. Or, I'm not being patronizing here and just try to give you this holier-than-thou approach. But I think we should taper our expectations with this team. It's a new coach. It's a new captain. There's a whole bunch of new faces. It is currently ranked 7th. They're playing against the 3rd-ranked team, albeit a weakened one. So, if they don't win by 10, everyone's like, oh, these dogs are cock again. We've got to understand that this team isn't what everyone thinks it is. Everyone goes, oh, they should be the best in the world again. They're 7th. There's 6 teams. 6 times 15 equals 90. There's essentially 90 rugby players in this world that are going to be better than the Springbok team right now. So let's just ease off, enjoy the game tomorrow, get a nice kind of drunk without the violence, and let's enjoy the process of the box getting better, because it's going to be a process. They're not just suddenly going to put 15 oaks in the field and boom, they're going to be able to beat the All Blacks.
Surprised they didn't start Catchberry with Launchbury, because they're a great combination.
Wow, Gord, you've been sweating it over 3 minutes, haven't you?
I've been holding that in the whole time.
Holding that like a pee on a road trip. Well done. So, other rugby news. Well, it's not really rugby news, but I guess it's kind of part of it. The whole Ashwin Villas, the saga of him walking out in the studios at Supersport.
Yeah, what's happened?
Well, he still hasn't given his version of events.
Because he's embarrassed. He fucked up. No, really. I mean, you don't get away with doing, like, having a hissy fit on television in front of everybody. And then in the passage of time, no matter what the reason was, and he might have had a very good reason for it, but eventually people go, what a little bitch. That's what they do.
The whole inquiry, which is under the charge of Advocate Vincent Maleka, he's gone through all the different sort of other role players. He's made all the different key interviews. But Ashwin's been holding back. Is this on the advice of the lawyer? Is this on the advice of, I don't know, other people? Other sort of power makers in this whole thing? CEO of MultiChoice has already said, yeah, he came out straight away and said, look, this isn't a racial incident. We are going to basically plug every hole here. We're going to find out what's going on. But Ashwin still hasn't given his testimony. So it has been now extended. So it was meant to be June 11th where all the finals were going to be thrown together. But now it's been thrown to Monday, June 18th. And of course, because the Box are playing tomorrow, the A team should be in studio. But they're not going to be. They're going to wheel in the B team again. And they're going to have guys like Jean de Villiers, Joel Stransky, Onan Komani, Victor Matfield, Kubus Visser. They'll all be in there, along with other English guests, Jeremy Guscott and Stuart Barnes.
Pretending everything's okay.
Well, that's what the show must go on, Gareth. The show must go on. Speaking of shows, oh, the French Open. What an absolute spectacle this is if you love tennis or you like looking at clay. Never forget that. Simona Halep, she got through to the final. She beat Garbine Muguruza 6-1, 6-4. Muguruza left that court with a face like a smacked ass. She was distraught about this. Halep, though, she saluted the crowd with grace and poise. The Romanian is through. She is the top seed, and she'll be taking on Sloane Stephens, who beat Madison Keys 6-4, 6-4. Huh. Fantastic final for the weekend for you. In the men's, they're going to be playing today at semi-final. Rafael Nadal. He dropped the first set in 3 years against Schwartzman, but he powered on and obviously beat him. He'll now play another Argentine in Raul Poitras, the 5th seed. And then Cecinato, the Italian who just kind of keeps in the tournament. No one expected this. The unseeded Italian shall play Dominic Thiem, who's the seventh seed. He's from Austria.
Has Rafael Nadal not dropped a set, what, in 3 years?
3 years. He dropped his first set in the quarterfinals.
Like in this particular
in
tournament?
In this particular tournament, yeah.
Because I was going to say, that's like indestructible.
Anywhere in tennis court, that would have been absolutely unheard of.
Yes, exactly.
And he would have, yeah.
That's what I was alluding to.
Would have been impossible. So now we've just basically wasted 30 seconds.
No, it was a real question for those of us who don't really follow tennis, but find your news updates really interesting.
Join the dots.
God, he's a miserable sack of shit, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's a curmudgeonly fucker, but we kind of tolerate him because he's nice deep down in that stone-like heart of his.
Well,
sort of like molten center, like a volcanic rock.
Like I said yesterday, this time of year is bloody exciting because it's Northern Hemisphere summer, so much is going on. And the US Open next week, what an incredible spectacle that's going to be. It's being played at Shinnecock Hill. So the last time the US Open was played there.
Beg your pardon?
Retief Kursen won. Shinnecock
Hill. Don't ask questions, Gareth. He'll come after you. Just go with it. It's connect the dots, Gareth.
It's fine. Gareth's question will be quite good. Catch Berry. Tiger Woods will be paired up with Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson, which is an intriguing three ball because obviously Justin Thomas is the world number one. Dustin Johnson is the guy he's just replaced. And Tiger Woods is, in many ways, the best golfer has ever lived, according to some people. But this isn't very good for Tiger because both of those guys bomb the ball. So the 42-year-old ex woman slayer will obviously try to throw the ball out there as well, which he can do, but Tiger doesn't need to focus on about being long off the tee. He needs to focus about his own game, playing within himself, and that guy's going to get back into something.
Yeah.
Why the threesome? What's the reasoning behind that?
So the first two rounds, that's generally what happens in these tournaments, so you play three.
Mavs never asks together. Questions about golf. This is a big
no,
deal.
No, they're playing in threes. I don't understand what the reason for that is.
That's how you play golf. You play in threes.
What?
I thought it was always four.
I also thought fours.
Well, socially, yeah. I mean, today I'm going to go play a four ball because you maximize your social capacity by having all three other mates with you.
She's not asking a dumb question, right?
No, I'm not.
Well, I don't know, Gareth. I sure as hell didn't say it was a dumb question.
I'm not asking a dumb question.
It was a good question, one which you got a good answer to, Gordon.
Yeah, it was one of your more adequate answers.
Rory McIlroy will be grouped with Jordan Spieth and Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson's never won the US Open, but he's finished runner-up six times. So that's six times. Massively disappointed. Hideki Matsuyama, Mark Leishman, and American Ricky Fowler will be playing in another sort of high-profile grouping. If you want to win, special prize this week, a special prize on my YouTube channel. Go onto it right now, because it's a US Open competition where you got to pick the score of Ricky Fowler for the week, Gord, and you can win a limited edition driver. I'm excited about that.
That's a golf club.
Yeah.
Sia just had a moment.
Did you just see a picture of Henry from Madara in his undies?
No, for real. Something just, for those not able to see.
He just burst.
Yeah, like Sia was calm. He was doing very little, just listening burst. Intently to the sport. And there was and then he had a real episode. What was that about?
Nothing. Let's move on.
Guys, I got one more thing to talk about. That's the rugby for the week. And, of course, is also the Paris 7. So, Blitzbox have got to win. And I've got to hope that Fiji basically just stub their toes, get violently ill or something around the lines. Otherwise, if you do like the 15-man game, New Zealand will be hammering France at 9:35. Australia will be boring the crap out of the Irish at 12:05. And, again, just a reminder, South Africa versus England, the big game for the weekend at Ellis Park in Johannesburg. 5:05.
How many days until the World Cup of Football?
5 days, Gareth. 5 days.
I already said that earlier. You weren't.
Yes,
listening.
No. I was just checking because I need to now plan things.
5 days. So all of next week, guys, I'm going to get deep into this whole World Cup stuff. I'm going to give you all kinds of information that's going to be both insightful, entertaining, and useful for this time of year. Because even if you don't like football, World Cup is a really, really big deal.
That's a
massive deal.
Yeah. All normal rules are suspended. Okay, it's time for Sia. Oh, okay.
It's sensual and mysterious.
Have you heard the lyrics?
No. Yeah. I think I actually have.
There we go.
This is the boning song, right?
The nasty ho song.
Yes.
The grooming song.
The grooming song.
As Gord Laws would say. Can we keep it PG-13 now?
Yes.
Thank you. In conclusion of really highlighting great service people this week, I wanted to talk about a Dr. George Mutobi. His story actually
was brought up to me as we were discussing the Charlotte Maxeke protests that were happening a couple of days ago here in Johannesburg. And Dr. Motsoapi is actually from the Mahikeng Provincial Hospital. And back in April, there were some protests happening in that area. And he still, regardless with the protests going on, he understood and respected why the people were protesting, but he still remained committed to his job by saying, folks, there's still patients in this facility who need my help. And he ended up having to sneak into the hospital just to make sure that the patients inside were still taken care of. Now listen to this. The entire hospital was basically barricaded, and Dr. Motsoapi had to take off his doctor gowns and his equipment and just dress as a civilian. He went behind the scenes and through the crowd and managed to secretly make his way into hospital. Really, when you think about how angry protesters can be, he risked his life to a certain extent. And that's when he was able to get into particularly the maternity ward and help patients there. He says that with all of this, for example, he had to walk 3 kilometers in just 30 minutes to make sure that he got into the hospital secretly enough. He arrived inside the hospital eventually unharmed, and he was ready to help deliver babies. And as he arrived, he was actually pulled straight into the emergency C-section ward, and that's when he had to operate on a woman. And hey, thankfully it was successful, and hours later both mother and child were safe and healthy. In 4 hours, he was working alone with a very small team. He managed to deliver 8 babies, 3 of which were through C-section, and it was unsafe to leave that late, so because of the protest. So that's when he and his small team ended up deciding to stay inside the hospital, isolated alone, while the protest still continued outside. And with no food available, not even tea or coffee. Imagine that. Dr. Motsoapi and his team stayed strong by just drinking water and focusing on their job at hand.
Imagine the utter relief if you're like going into labor, or you know, like, and there's no doctors and then one arrives
and violent protests happening outside.
Yeah, and there's like, no, sorry. You I mean, imagine just the sheer relief of someone like that arriving at that time.
Well, I mean, for those 8 babies, it could have been the difference between life and death for all of them.
Including the mothers.
And the mothers,
and the mothers as well. You know, and we might question and wonder why someone would go above and beyond like this. Well, Dr. Motsoapi simply says that what drives them is to see that smile on the patient. They're dear to their hearts, and maternity care is something else, because here they're taking care of a pregnant mother and an unborn baby. So he actually jokingly calls his patients his cocaine, because his patients make him the happiest man. And there he was able to accomplish a new mission, save lives and deliver babies. So
what a good guy.
I don't know.
And those protesters have got to feel bad when they hear this story, because this is a story of a man who is not going to put himself first, which I think is unbelievable.
Dr.
Right?
George Motsoapi this morning.
What a great guy. Yeah, what a nice guy. I mean, it just blows my mind that there are people that are able to be this thoughtful, that are this selfless.
A lot of people would bin it when it's like, hey, there's no way in, no transport in, I got to walk, sorry.
Yeah, right.
They would?
Too much work.
Yeah, I just call it off.
Oh, bin it, not bin it.
Like. Not Bennett, but
thanks.
Nah. All right. Very good. 3 minutes to 7. And we will check in on some news. We'll get to speak about the lowdown on the Henry Van Bredaar story, a recap of all of that. And your thoughts, your calls, your ideas, whatever it is you want to talk about, 0797482090. That's all the time you need after 7 to get it out there, to hear the things you want to hear.
This is CliffCentral.com.